नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो ध्यायमुदीरयेत् नष्टप्रायेषु भद्रेषु नित्यं भगवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोकैर्भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी. Today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 87, Text Number 21, entitled The Prayers of the Personified Vedas. Text Number 21.
Duravagamatma tattva nigamaya tava tatanosh. Charita mahamritabdhi. Parivrata parishramanaha. Naparila shanti kechir apavargam apishvarate. Charana saroja hamsakula sangha vishrita griha. Duravagamatma tattva nigamaya tava tatano. Charita mahamritabdhi parivarta parishramanaha. Naparila shanti kechir apavargam apishvarate. Charana saroja hamsakula sangha vishrita griha. Duravagamatma tattva nigamaya tava tatanos. Charita mahamritabdhi parivarta parishramanaha. Parila shanti kechir apavargam apishvarate. Charana saroja hamsakula sangha vishrita griha.
Difficult to understand. Atma of the self. Tattva, the truth. Nigamaya, in order to propagate. Tava, of you. Ata, who have assumed. Tanoho, your personal forms. Charita, of the pastimes. Maha, vast. Amrita, of nectar. Abdhi, in the ocean. Parivarta, by diving. Parishramanaha, who have been relieved of fatigue. Na parilashanti, do not wish for. Kechit, a few persons. Apavargam, liberation. Api, even. Ishvara, O Lord. Te, your. Charana, at the feet. Saroja, lotus. Hamsa, of swans. Kula, with the community. Sangha, because of association. Vishrishta, abandoned. Griha, whose homes. Translation and purport. by the servants of A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. My Lord, some fortunate souls have gotten relief from the fatigue of material life by diving into the vast nectar ocean of your pastimes, which you enact when you manifest your personal forms to propagate the unfathomable science of the Self. These rare souls, indifferent even to liberation, renounce the happiness of home and family because of their association with devotees who are like flocks of swans enjoying at the lotus feet of your feet. Enjoying at the lotus of your feet. Purport. Ritualistic brahmanas, smartas, and impersonalists, mayavadis, always try to relegate the process of bhakti yoga to a relative or minor role. They say that devotion to the personality of God is for sentimental persons who lack the maturity to observe strict rituals or pursue the rigorous culture of knowledge. In this verse, however, the personified Vedas most emphatically declare the super excellence of devotional service, clearly identifying it with Atma Tattva, the science of the Self, that impersonalists so proudly claim as their own domain. Srila Jiva Goswami here defines Atma Tattva as the confidential mystery of the Supreme Lord's personal forms, qualities, and pastimes. He also gives a second meaning for the phrase Atatano. Instead of meaning who assumes various bodies, the phrase can also mean he who attracts everyone to his transcendental body. The pastimes of Lord Krishna and his various expansions and incarnations are an unfathomable ocean of enjoyment. When a person comes to the point of complete exhaustion in his materialistic pursuits, whether he has been searching after material success or some impersonal notion of spiritual annihilation, he can gain relief by submerging himself in this nectar. As Srila Rupa Goswami explains in his book on the science of Bhakti Yoga, Sri Bhakti Rasa Amrita Sindhu, rendered into English by Srila Prabhupada as the nectar of devotion. One who tastes even a single drop of this vast ocean will forever lose all desire for anything else. Just a small pause. Who knows the meaning of Sri Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu? What is the meaning of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu? Ocean of nectar of devotional service. Very good. Sindhu means ocean. Bhakti means devotion. Rasa Amrita. Rasa means, you can say, juice or nectar. Amrita actually is nectar, juice, nectarian juice. Giving an alternative interpretation of the word Parishramanaha, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti comments that although the devotees of the Lord become fatigued after repeatedly diving into the endless waves and undercurrents in the ocean of the Lord's pleasure pastimes, these devotees never desire any happiness other than the Lord's service, even the happiness of liberation. Rather, their very fatigue becomes pleasure for them, just as the fatigue produced by sex indulgence is pleasurable to those addicted to sex. The Supreme Lord's pure devotees become enthused by hearing the charming narrations of his pastimes and feel impelled to dance, sing, shout out loud, kick their heels together, faint, sob, and run about like madmen. This is this ecstasy of devotional service. Thus, they become too absorbed in ecstasy to notice any bodily discomfort. Pure Vaishnavas do not want even liberation, what to speak of other desirable goals, such as an exalted position as ruler of the heavenly planets. This degree of exclusive dedication is admittedly only rarely achieved in this world, as the Shruti is speaking in this verse indicated by the word kechit, a few. Not only do pure devotees abandon their hankering for future gain, but they also lose all their attraction for what they already possess, the common comforts of home and family life, the association of saintly Vaishnavas, the disciplic successions of masters, disciples and grand disciples becomes for them their real family, filled with swan-like personalities like Sri Shukadeva Goswami. This great personality is always drink the sweet nectar of service to the Supreme Lord's lotus feet. Many mantras of the Upanishad and other Shrutis openly declare devotional service to be superior to liberation itself. In the words of the Nrisimha Purva Tapani Upanishad, Yam Sarve Veda Namanti Mumukshavo Brahma Vadhinascha, to him all the Vedas, all seekers of liberation and all students of the Absolute Truth offer their obeisances. Commenting on this mantra, Sri Shankaracharya admits, Mukta api lilaya vikraham kritva bhajanti. Even liberated souls take pleasure in establishing Supreme Lord's deity and worshipping him. The great rival of Acharya Shankara, Srila Madhvacharya Ananda Tirtha, cites his own favorite Shruti mantras in this regard, such as Mukta hetam upasate muktanam api bhaktir hi paramananda rupini. Even those who are liberated worship him, and even for them devotional service is the embodiment of supreme bliss. And amritasya dhara bahuda dahamanam charanam no loke sudhitam dhadhatu om tatsat. May his feet, which bountifully pour forth floods of nectar, bestow wisdom upon us who are living in this world. In summary, Srila Sridhara Swami prays, Tvat katamrita padadhau viharanto mahamuda kurvanti kritina kechej chaturvargam trinopamam. Those rare fortunate souls who derive great delight by sporting in the nectar ocean of topics about you consider the four great goals of life, religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation, to be no more important than a blade of grass. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stabitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Svapradantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavam Sa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakanvitam Sha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Shri Mate Bhakti Vedanta Swaminiti Namine Namaste Saraswati Devin Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Sunyavadi Pastachadesha Tarine Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpate Rubhyasha Kripa Sindhu Bhevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Here the personified Vedas, the Shrutis, Sanskrit word Shruti, is referred to personified Vedas. They are offering their beautiful prayers. They are continuing their beautiful prayers. Srila Prabhupada, in his Krishna book, he wrote an elaborate explanation on these beautiful prayers offered by the personified Vedas, because they are full of Krishna conscious knowledge. And when one educates oneself in this practice of Krishna conscious knowledge, one can practically apply and demonstrate it. And finally, one can actually experience the blissfulness of devotional service. Yesterday, Nrisimha Kavachapura was speaking beautifully. He was explaining the sambandha-gyan, that is, how these living entities of this material world, they have their choice, they have their minute choice, whether they want to be in this material world, take shelter of Krishna's external energy, Maya, or they have the choice to take shelter of Krishna himself. That minute choice is given to each and every living entity. And as quoted in Bhagavad Gita, Nahi kashchit kshanam api jhatu tishtate karma krit. Not even for a moment can the mind refrain. So every moment we have choice. Every moment we can make choice. Okay, I want to choose Krishna. Or you can choose, I want to choose Maya. Why is it? Because we are the tatashta shakti. We are the marginal energy. We have the choice either to fall into the spiritual world, or we have the choice either to fall into the material world. That is the nature of the living entity who are separate energies of Krishna. We have that choice every moment. And that's why we learn this knowledge which is given by the personified Vedas, so that we can make a good choice in life. We learn transcendental knowledge so that we can make very good choice. It's not to have the knowledge in your head and walk like a library and do nothing. Not to be a dry philosopher. Just learn everything and then don't actually practically use, speaking of myself. The purpose of knowledge is to strengthen our desire and to make choice which are very good for our long-term life. As there is a term in Vedanta Sutra, in the Vedas, as Shruti, as Prayas and Shreyas. Prayas and Shreyas means happiness, basically. But Prayas is short-term happiness, whereas Shreyas means long-term happiness. So we should make choice where we can look for long-term happiness. Whereas the pleasure we get in this material world is prayers. It is short-term happiness. So that's why we learn Bhagavad Gita, we learn Bhagavatam, we learn Chaitanya Charitamrita, we learn all this transcendental literature just to strengthen our faith and to make good choice, to make correct choice. This is sambandha gyan, that is to assimilate as much transcendental knowledge. But then, when we assimilate this transcendental knowledge, we have to practically apply it. Jnana, vijnana, then savijnana. Jnana means theoretical knowledge. That is sambandha jnana. Who am I? Who is Krishna? What is this material world? What is this spiritual world? What is my relationship with Krishna? So, as Nrisimha Kavacha Prabhu pointed out very nicely, how we are not creatures of this world. We are actually eternal servant of Krishna. We belong to Krishna and we actually are meant to serve Krishna. This is Sambandha Gyan. So today's verse beautifully explains that the living entity who are very, very fortunate, them who make the correct choice, they serve Krishna. They serve Krishna in 9 different processes, as Sri Prahlad Maharaj explains in Bhagavatam. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atmanivedanam. This is Abhidheya Gyan. Abhidheya Gyan means Vigyan, or where you actually practically apply the theoretical knowledge. A living entity practically applies. He engages the senses in Krishna service. Like for example, he uses the ear for hearing the topics about Krishna. This is the beginning of spiritual life. Beginning of spiritual life begins by hearing. When one hears, then one can sing. If one doesn't hear the glories of Krishna, then one cannot sing. So Parikshit Maharaj, he exemplified, he perfected his life by hearing about Krishna. And then when one hears, then one can sing. So later on, Parikshit Maharaj, after hearing his discourse of Srimad Bhagavatam from Shukadev Goswami, then Parikshit Maharaj's mother, Uttara, came and asked Shukadev Goswami, please tell me in essence. Uttara came and asked Parikshit Maharaj, please tell me the essence of what you heard from Shukadev Goswami. Because Parikshit Maharaj heard very nicely, he was able to recite. He spoke this beautiful Brihad Bhagavatamrita. This Brihad Bhagavatamrita explains who is the highest devotee and what is the highest planet and what is the highest relationship, pretty much. So, because Parikshit Maharaj was able to assimilate and hear what Shukadeva Goswami said, he was able to speak this transcendental knowledge to his mother, Uttara. Similarly, the next process of devotional service is chanting. Chanting is very important. And Shukadeva Goswami, he perfected his life just by simply by chanting the glories of Krishna. Again, Shukadeva Goswami, he is qualified to be a speaker because he heard the transcendental knowledge of Krishna. One cannot speak about Krishna if one doesn't hear from a bona fide source, from a bona fide spiritual master, or from a swan-like devotees. One can only chant Krishna's glories only when he has heard Krishna's pastimes and glories from authorized devotees. So when Shukadeva Goswami was in the womb of his mother, Vyasadeva's wife, then Shukadeva Goswami didn't want to come out of the womb because at that time he was a monist. He didn't have the transcendental knowledge of devotional service. So he was thinking, if I come out of the womb, then I will be an illusion. I will be caught up in Maya. I will be caught up in family life. So that's why Shukadeva Goswami didn't want to come out of the womb of his mother for 16 years. Vyasadeva tried to educate him, come out. Obviously, then Vyasadeva said, don't worry, you will not be in Maya. And he spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam to Shukadeva Goswami while he was in the womb. But still, Shukadeva Goswami didn't want to come out. Only and until Krishna came and told Shukadeva Goswami, you will not fall in Maya. You have heard this transcendental knowledge. Then Shukadeva Goswami came out of the womb. So Shukadeva Goswami was qualified to be a speaker of Srimad Bhagavatam because he heard this transcendental knowledge from the bona fide source. He heard this transcendental knowledge from Vyasadeva, who is whoever sits on this Vyasasan should actually represent Vyasadeva. should actually imbibe the qualities of imbibe the devotional qualities, and they should speak the transcendental knowledge which is coming from the disciplic succession. So Sukadeva Goswami was qualified speaker because he heard Krishna Katha from the bona fide source. And when one chants and hears very nicely, one hears and chants very nicely, automatic reaction is that one should think of Krishna, one should remember Krishna. One should remember Krishna. So Sri Prahlad Maharaj says, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Why does he say Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu? He says, particularly he uses the word Vishnu because his spiritual life doesn't mean you can hear and chant anything and everything. Spiritual life actually means one should hear and chant the glories of Lord Vishnu or the glories of Lord Krishna. That is practical knowledge. That is Abhideya Gyan. So when one comes to this Abhideya Gyan and one practices the devotional process given by Srila Rupa Goswami in his Upadeshamrita, the Nectar of Instruction and Nectar of Devotion, then one actually can experience the Prayojana. What is the Prayojana? The Prayojana is, Prayojana Gyan is Savigyan. Savvigyan means realized knowledge. One can actually experience the realization of transcendental devotional service. We know Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Krishna himself. One of the reasons he descended to this world, he was thinking. Actually, it was Advaita Acharya who was worshipping the Shalagram, and he was calling out by worshipping the Shalagram Srila and pouring the Ganges water. And he was asking Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Oh Mahaprabhu, please descend to this world." Why? Because people are suffering in this world. There's no one but you who can actually deliver the fallen conditioned souls of this material world. No one. Previously Krishna had come and he has established religious principles. But when Krishna went away, then all the good qualities went away. And people started actually misbehaving themselves and taking shelter of the Kali Yuga vice. So that's why Advaita Acharya, out of compassion, he called out Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, "Krishna, you personally come descend in this world. Because it is only you who can actually deliver all the fallen conditioned souls of this world." So, because of the prayers of Advaita Acharya and because of Haridas Thakur's intense chanting, because of those two great devotees, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended to this world in the house of Jagannath Mishra in Nadia, Sri Mayapur Dham, the banks of Ganga. Under the neem tree, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu descended to this world. So the sole purpose of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's descent in this world, as explained by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, is that many, many incarnations have come to this world. But all those incarnations of Krishna, they wonderfully come and they establish the religious principles of devotional service. But they give them the Vaidhi Sarana Bhakti, or they give them the process where they can perform devotional service in, with strict rules and regulation. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's descent to this world is very, very special. Why is it that his descent to this world is very, very special and most unique among all the incarnations of Godhead? Why is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's descent to this world more special than when Narasimhadev appeared, when Lord Ram appeared, when Kapila Muni appeared? So many incarnations have appeared. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's descent to this world is so special because he wanted to give what no other incarnations have given. He wanted to give something more beyond rules and regulations of devotional service. He wanted to give the living entity is the love of God, Krishna Prem. This Krishna Prem is achieved through the residence of Vrindavan, by following the instructions or following the footsteps of the residence of Vrindavan, who is Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada is a resident of Vrindavan. So by following the footsteps of the residence of Vrindavan, one can actually get this Krishna Prem, which is most unique, more unique than what other incarnations have given. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's special quality. We know, as explained in Srimad Bhagavatam, that, do you know that verse, Prabhuji, where it's explained that akama sarva kamo va moksha kamo udharati tivrena bhakti yogana yajeta purusham param. Akama sarva kamo va, that akama means one who has no material desires. Akama sarva kamo va, akama sarva kamo va moksha kamo udharati. Whether you have all material desires, moksha kamo udharati. And moksha kama means the desire for liberation. So this desire for liberation are in five forms: Sayuja Mukti, Sashti, Samipya, Salokya, and Sarupya. These are the five liberations. A devotee, he will reject the Sayuja Mukti, the liberation into merging into the impersonal Brahman or the effulgence of the Lord. He will reject that. But a devotee will also accept either of those four liberation, that is Samipya, Sashti, Salokya, or Sarupya. That is being in the same planet of the Lord, or having the same form of the Lord, or being in close proximity of the Lord, or having the same opulence of the Lord. And this is what all the other incarnations have given to the living entities. They have given the benediction where they can achieve liberations, where they can have the same form of the Lord, or they can be in the same planet of the Lord, or they can have the same opulence of the Lord, or being close proximity of the Lord, or close associate of the Lord. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's descent is very, very special, more special than what the incarnations have given. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave the Krishna Bhakti, or love for Krishna. When one actually achieves this Krishna Bhakti, one doesn't consider any of this liberation. One actually rejects all this liberation, as explained here by Srila Sridhara Swami. He says in this beautiful verse, Tvatkatamrita padadho piharanto mahamudha kurvanti kritina keche chaturvargam trinopasham. Those rare fortunate souls who derive great delight by sporting in the nectar ocean of topics about you, consider the four great goals of life: religiosity, economic development, sense gratification, and liberation, which I mentioned, to be no more important than a blade of grass. For a devotee, he engages in devotional service without such motivation as liberation or sense gratification or economic development. He engages this devotional service just as a materialistic person engages, enthusiastically relishes the pleasure of material or sex life, as you can say, as explained in this purport. Just as a person finds great happiness and enthusiasm in sex pleasure, similarly a devotee can experience great pleasure by hearing, chanting, and performing the nine processes of devotional service. And even more, he experiences so much pleasure. It is explained, the pleasure of this material world is only a drop. It is explained like that. But it's very difficult for conditioned souls, speaking of myself, to conceive what is the pleasure beyond the material pleasure. It is explained, all this material pleasure you find in this entire material creation doesn't even match up to the drop of the pleasure you can experience in merging into Brahma Jyoti, or the effulgence of the Supreme Lord. But that is, but the pleasure of the Brahma Jyoti is insignificant to the pleasure you experience in relation to serving Krishna. That's how it's explained. So, where I'm coming to is that what we have in this, we have to be focused and seeing what is our long-term vision. What is our long-term pleasure? What can we achieve in long-term status? Yes, we may be attached to material objects and so forth, but we should understand that after you give up this material body, then you have to again go and accept another material body. And this is a continuous repetition of suffering. The material world which we are in is packaged in such a way where we have to experience suffering. We can't escape it. Just for a little bit pleasure we experience in this material world, we have to experience a lot of suffering. And it's a very difficult thing to actually understand. That's why we have to educate ourselves in the transcendental knowledge and firm our determination and make right choices. By firming our determination by studying the Shastra, by studying the Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, and practically applying it by chanting, hearing, and performing the nine processes of devotional service, remembering Krishna, worshipping the deities, and so forth, then one can actually carry out their determination in a very peaceful way. And it makes it all the more easy when one performs devotional service in the association of devotees. It makes it all the more easy. One of the video I was watching when I was in Gurukul with some of the boys, and we were watching some historical video, and the main actor was pointing out to his friends. He picked up a stick and he broke it. But then he brought a whole bunch of stick and he tried to break it, but he couldn't. He wanted to point out, you have enemies, but if I go by myself, I can easily be defeated. But if you all, as a friend, come in a group, and we'll fight against this enemy, then the enemy will find it more difficult to defeat us. So, the point being that when we get the right association and perform devotional service, then our determination becomes stronger and our intelligence becomes sharper and we can make right choices. That is the point. And when we make these right choices, and we stick into the principles of devotional service, one slowly can experience the devotional ecstasy that is within. It is not an artificial show. We don't artificially impose these ecstatic symptoms. It comes gradually by following the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada and the residents of Vrindavan. By following the footsteps of such great personalities and following the instructions given by Rupa Goswami, one can actually come to that level where one can experience the transcendental pleasure. Srila Prabhupada made it very easy for us because he understood the nature of Kali Yuga. The Kali Yuga is so powerful that we get bombarded every moment. We get bombarded as we walk in the streets. We get bombarded by seeing the advertisement. We get bombarded by different visions like opposite sex and so forth, or seeing the beautiful, wonderful cars and so forth. That's why Srila Prabhupada, he wanted to actually bring about a color. He gave a colorful practice in devotional service. What is it? Hearing, chanting, dancing, eating prasadam. By hearing about Krishna, one should actually feel enthusiastic to be Krishna conscious. One should actually feel so enthusiastic. And as he walks out of the class, what he can do is he can talk about Krishna. And he can educate others about Krishna. That is the purpose of hearing. The purpose of hearing is to purify oneself and give Krishna to others. By chanting about Krishna, one actually can control their mind. If one attentively chants Krishna's names, one can actually subdue the mind. It is possible. And when one dances in the kirtan, then one is not aware of all the troubles that is experienced in this material world. When one eats prasadam, one has no taste for looking for food substances that are out of the devotional complex, as you can say. So Srila Prabhupada, he made this Krishna consciousness very colorful. He made it so colorful so that when we actually take this process of devotional service, we actually lose attraction to Maya. Srila Prabhupada wanted to point out, when one sincerely takes up the process of devotional service, the pleasure of Maya is insignificant. He wanted to point out that. But that is all depends on our choice. Again, boils down to our choice. How we apply it. How we practically apply it. If we practically apply it sincerely, earnestly, then one can find good results. One can make right choices. Then, when one makes right choices, then our destination to the spiritual world will come true. As mentioned here, this devotional service is not a sentimental thing, or it is not a dry philosophical thing. Srila Prabhupada would always say, religion without philosophy is mental speculation. No, sorry. Religion without philosophy is sentimental or fanaticism. Or philosophy without proper behavior, or religion, you can say, that is mental speculation. So we don't want either of it. We don't want to be only philosophers, book people, bookman. Or do we want to be fanatical or sentimental? We have to have proper understanding what we do. When we have proper understanding what we do, we can explain to others. That is the point. To point how this devotional ecstasy should not be imitated, as explained here by Srila Hridayananda Goswami, that the Supreme Lord's pure devotees become enthused by hearing the charming narrations of his pastimes and feel impelled to dance, sing, shout out loud, kick their heels together, faint, sob and run about like madmen. So this is not an artificial thing to impose, to show. This comes when one has genuine devotion. This is explained in Chaitanya Bhagavat by Vrindavan Das Thakur. Once a snake chairman was playing an instrument and singing the glories of Krishna, dancing on Kaliya. And so the snake was dancing like Kaliya. So the snake chairman was singing the beautiful glories of Krishna. Then when the snake was dancing so nicely, Haridas Thakur visualized this. He saw this. Haridas Thakur, he became impressed by it, and he actually started also dancing with the snake. But as he danced with the snake, because he was a pure devotee, he experienced all transcendental symptoms. He experienced the symptoms as explained here. He started dancing like a madman. And the snake chairman was very, very happy, and he was continuously singing these glories. After a long, long time, Haridas Thakur, snake chairman, stopped, and Haridas Thakur went about. But there was one envious brahmana. He was saying, "Oh, Haridas Thakur, he got such public, reverence just because he danced like this." So the envious brahmana was waiting for an opportune moment. So the snake chairman again started singing the glories of Krishna and singing the, how Krishna was dancing on the hoods of Kaliya. So the Brahmana started imitating like Haridas Thakur and started dancing like a wild man. And there was so much audience. Everyone was watching this. As they were watching, the snake chairman got very disturbed and he got a stick and started chasing the man. So the envious Brahmana started running away. Later on, the public asked the snake chairman, why did you do this? Why didn't you do that on Haridas Thakur? Why did you do this on the envious Brahmana? Then the snake chairman said, when Haridas Thakur, he displayed this, I actually felt great pleasure. Because I could see that Haridas Thakur was experiencing great pleasure. But when this envious Brahmana started dancing, I felt very depressed because he wanted prestige, he wanted fame. So that's why I had to drive him away. So the point being that we're not sentimentalists. Whatever we do, we should have proper understanding why we do it. At the same time, we don't want to be dry philosopher. You know, that we study in the transcendental literatures, but when devotee asks, oh Prabhuji, please can you render some service to Krishna? No, I have no time. or for example, you study so much, but you don't chant, or you don't hear the glories of Krishna, or you don't practice devotional service. You just study for the sake of showing how big scholar you are. This is also not accepted. So we should understand that we should practice the devotional service with proper understanding. Especially we are in this world, not only in Western world, even in India. Indians, young Indians, they don't want to practice religion without understanding. You know, you just tell them, oh, why are you performing devotion service? Oh, because my grandmother did, that's what you should do. You know, they will not really take it serious. And Westerners in general, they were already forced in that kind of situation where they were forced to be Christians, forced to be different religious sect. But we don't want to force people into a culture or something. We want to explain to them the science of devotional service. Prabhupada calls it science because it is not a religious fanaticism or it is not a sentimentalism. He explains this is a science. This transcendental knowledge is a science. You give them the theoretical knowledge and you can apply it. When you apply it, one can actually realize it. So, if one continuously practices the devotional service, the Abhideya Gyan, taking shelter of Sri Radha Govinda, Rupa Goswami, basically through the teachings of Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Upadeshamrita, one can actually experience the Prayojana Gyan. That is, one can actually experience Susukam Kartam Aviyam, that devotional service is always joyful. Otherwise, if one doesn't sincerely practice this process of devotional service, then one can never experience this joy of devotional service. And this is easily performed by hearing and chanting. So, if there are any questions or comments, comments, Prabhuji? Prabhu, please share your realization. Gangeshwar Prabhu. Translations, my Lord, some fortunate souls have gotten relief from the fatigue of material life by diving into the vast nectar ocean of your pastimes, which you enact when you manifest your personal forms to propagate the unfathomable science of the self. These rare souls, indifferent even to liberation, renounce the happiness of home and family because of their association with devotees who are like flocks of swans enjoying at the lotus of your feet. Also another point to be made, that's why we take shelter of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sincerely, because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has given us this gift which no other incarnations have given, that is love for Krishna, which is beyond the Vaidhi sadhana process or the regulated devotional service. But we do follow the regulated principles under the guidance and footsteps of the residents of Vrindavan, then one can develop this spontaneous love for Krishna in Vrindavan eventually. You would like to share some realization?
I'll ask you a question. So, when a devotee chants Hare Krishna,
yes, Guruji.
How do they absorb themselves in particular pastimes? You know, which are appropriate?
When one chants Krishna's name,
Hare Krishna, which may be not appropriate to someone's level.
Well, as explained by Rupa Goswami, there's a whole procedure. When one chants in the initial stage, one should just meditate on hearing the holy name of Krishna, as explained by Srila Prabhupada. But when one gets more purified, then one can start remembering Krishna's names, and then qualities, then pastimes and activities and so forth. So one doesn't remember Krishna immediately in his pastimes. One should try to focus on Krishna's name when one is in the offensive or
clearing
stage. Yeah, one should just focus on hearing. But as gradually we get purified, one can slowly come to Krishna's qualities, activities and so forth. And Krishna's pastimes, as Prabhupada said, is so sweet. Just like you have a Simply Wonderful. Simply Wonderful, you can buy the Simply Wonderful any side, but it will be very sweet. So Krishna's fighting with Jarasandha, or Krishna's performing rasa dance, are all sweet. So one can always meditate on Krishna's pastimes internally. But when we speak it out, we have to be careful how we present this Krishna conscious knowledge. We do not reveal this confidential knowledge of Krishna with Krishna's intimate devotees, the gopis, with neophyte or people who have no knowledge of Krishna. Then you explain how Krishna is so powerful. Look, Krishna smashed all those all the Jarasandha forces 18 times. And how many warriors were there? 18 Akshahonis? How many? 21 Akshahonis. And how much is one Akshahoni compromises? Some thousands and thousands of elephants, thousands and thousands of foot soldiers, so many horses. Krishna single-handedly smashed them. This is how you explain to the new people. But we don't tell them Krishna, He's the Supreme Lord because he danced with the gopis or something. Because they will not be able to understand. First, we need to explain who Krishna is. And when they get purified, then they can digest other transcendental subject matter. But internally, for matured devotee, they can meditate on any Krishna's pastime. But if we are neophyte, we should try to meditate in trying to convince that how Krishna is the Supreme Lord by trying to meditate how Krishna defeated Jarasandha, how he killed Kamsa, how he killed the Kualayapida, the elephant. We should meditate on those pastimes to convince that Krishna is actually the Supreme Lord. Only and until we are convinced that Krishna is actually the Supreme Lord, then can we actually surrender to Krishna. We are not convinced that Krishna is the Supreme Lord, then we do not actually surrender to Krishna. And that's what Bhagavad Gita is. Krishna explains the whole transcendental knowledge of Bhagavad Gita. But finally he says, surrender unto me. Why does Krishna say, finally surrender unto me? Because Krishna has given the whole science. He explained who you are, the nature of the material world. He explains who he is. And he shows the universal form, showing actually how he is the Supreme Lord. Then Krishna says, surrender unto me. He doesn't say in the beginning, surrender unto me. He says that finally. But Bhagavatam begins from where Bhagavad Gita left off. So, to your question, Prabhuji, you might have more realization, but this is my thoughts, that for if one is a neophyte, one should try to convince yourself how Krishna is the Supreme Lord. So when we chant Krishna's name, we should try to convince how Krishna is the Supreme Lord. Look, he picked up Govardhan Hill with his pinky finger. If I am to be Supreme Lord, let me try to pick the cup up with the pinky finger for 1 hour. So we should convince ourselves in this way. When we can convince ourselves, then we can actually have genuine surrender unto Krishna. And then, when we genuinely surrender unto Krishna, we can start meditating on other pastimes of Krishna with Krishna and his confidential devotees. This is my understanding. So if you have your thoughts, please share it. Prabhu, Prabhu.
Thank you for speaking so nicely.
Very good. You're embarrassing me. Mahatma Prabhu, you'd like to say, share something? Oh, yes, Prabhu.
Yeah.
Prabhuji. Yeah.
One test of how much we're making progress is actually is how long we can hear the mantra for.
How long we can hear the mantra for? That's right. Yes. Thank you very much. Very nice point.
Yes. First of all, thank you very much for your maintenance class. Now, as we went to preach to other people like Bhakti Vrishabhur and other things, everybody asked, why so much emphasis on the lotus feet when you are talking about surrender? Surrender to lotus feet of Krishna. So why that particular lotus feet is coming all the time?
Lotus feet. Yes. Krishna's lotus feet is so sweet, so beautiful and so cooling that it can help us relieve the fire of material existence. So we just have to be humble and take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet.
Any other reason?
It is explained that the toenails of Krishna, from the toenail emanates the Brahma Jyoti, the effulgence. First we should try to meditate on Krishna's lotus feet, then we can come to the other part of the body. If we can't appreciate Krishna's lotus feet, then we can't appreciate the other part of the body, because it's much more deeper understanding. But Krishna's, any part of Krishna's body is wonderful to meditate on, really. But it is explained, the lotus feet, because it's to point out that we should be humble. We should be humble servants of Krishna. That is the main emphasis of the lotus feet. Otherwise you can meditate on Krishna's form, any part of Krishna's form, that is all sweet. Just to educate us continuously that we are not the masters, but we are the servants. And we should actually always meditate on Krishna's lotus feet. That means your head is thinking about Krishna's lotus feet, and the lotus feet is touching your head pretty much. You're continuously bowing down to Krishna's lotus feet. That is the point. Thank you.